You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
How are we? How many of you the last couple weeks have appreciated Greg's teaching on the Holy Spirit? Just talking about the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. It's been some really good reminders and just setting some direction for us as a church. It's been so good. Today, I've been trying to think of a less selfish way to say this, but I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and me. That sounds kind of selfish, but I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and me because I think it might have something to say about the Holy Spirit and you. What I personally have benefited from, have learned from in trying to understand and come to know the person of the Holy Spirit in my life, in my family, in my relationships, and really everything that I do. And you know, early Christians, when you look at the book of Acts in the first century, early Christians were called followers of the way. There's three passages, and it's in your notes that you have in the handout that you got when you came in here. But there's three scriptures in the book of Acts where we see people that follow Jesus referred to as followers of the way. And it may be related to John chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And when Jesus says that he is the way, I think there's something to this invitation that he went around. Everywhere he went, we see examples of him saying, inviting people to follow him, to learn from him, to receive his teaching, to obey his teaching, to live like he did, to be baptized like he was baptized, and to do the things that he did. And so early Christian followers were referred to by other people as people of the way of Jesus. And really, that's what Christianity is supposed to be about, is that we aren't just Christians who have a particular belief, who have a particular practice that we do on Sunday, but we are followers of Jesus, that we are followers of the way. Luke tells us in Acts chapter 11 that it was at Antioch that believers or disciples were first called Christians, that later they were identified in name with the one that they were following, that they became known, that we became known as Christians. As we identify with Christ, we became known as Christians because we're trying to live like him. When I was in high school, or I don't know when it was exactly, everybody was wearing a bracelet that said WWJD. What would Jesus do? And really, I think we all should still be wearing those things. What would Jesus do? In every situation, wherever I find myself, what would he do? Because we are following him, trying to live like him, trying to obey his teaching, because he shows us the best possible way to live. Well, life is life. The longer that I follow Jesus, the more aware I think I become of my need for him. The more of life that I go through, and the more that I interact with people, and the more interactions that I have, and the more things that come my way, the more I have become personally aware, or need to sometimes remind myself, man, I really need God. I need him for this. I need him in this. I need him to help me even just wrap my brain around what's happening right now. And just, I need him. Because what's happening maybe sometimes is just too much. Because life is life. And I confessed my belief a long time ago. You know, we as a church, New Testament Church, was started in 1981. We started in 1981. And the first couple of years, they built the building that's over to the side there, and it was just a smaller building. And I went to school in the basement of that building. We had a Christian school, and there was, I think it was Wednesday chapels. I remember responding to a time to receive Jesus as my Savior, and I remember doing that. And really, the only thing I remember other than doing it was the person that was standing next to me, my friend Eddie. Eddie Ware was standing next to me, and that's what I remember. I remember standing next to Eddie saying, I want to follow Jesus. And I decided a long time ago that my belief was settled. And, you know, I've had tons of times of doubt, lots of times where I've questioned and where I've been insecure in my faith, or times when I've wondered. But for the most part, generally speaking, my belief has been firm, has been there for probably 35 years, well, more than that, almost 40 years. Yeah, I'm getting older. it's hard to say. Been doing something for 40 years. But for almost 40 years, my belief was settled. But as I've been, even in this last semester, we had Financial Peace University downstairs, and I was teaching New Testament Survey in one of our classrooms. And in going through New Testament Survey, I was reminded again that the scripture tells us, and these are my words, that belief is not enough. I'm going to take you to a passage in a few moments that will kind of show you where I get that from, because those are my words. But I want to say, belief is not enough. And I've had belief, like I said, for about 40 years, and there's things about me that are, I would say, they're just a part of who I am. One of those, and I've talked about this probably more than I should, is that I'm a 49er fan. San Francisco 49ers football team. And even I put a 49er hat on yesterday to go meet a friend for coffee, and I thought, you know, maybe I should get a Messina hat. Because San Francisco's a long ways away. But for me, my grandparents lived out near in the Bay Area, and it's a family connection. I'm a 49er fan, but, you know, no matter how much of a fan I am, no matter how many jerseys I buy and put on those jerseys, and how many articles I read, and how many football games I watch, Coach Shanahan is never going to know who I am. I'm not trying to be humble here. He's not going to know who I am. I have no bearing on the 49ers, as great as they are. I contribute nothing to their success. I am no part of the organization, and they will never know who I am. Christian McCaffrey will never say, "Good job, Justin," as many times as I say, "Good job, Christian McCaffrey." I'm just a spectator, and I enjoy being a spectator. My wife likes to say she likes playing sports, not watching them. She doesn't understand why I can sit there and watch a game for 3 hours. She has something to that. There's something there. But it's easy to be a spectator. I think there's so many things in our lives that lead us to be spectators. It's easy in life to be a spectator. We got lots of entertainment to consume. Got lots of interesting things to watch. YouTube sucks up a lot of time. It's also easy in our faith to become a spectator. Because that's just, I think, it's easy. Almost natural to become a spectator. And oftentimes, when we communicate, whenever I'm coaching one of our MCs or telling somebody this is what we're gonna talk about today, I say, don't say we have a lot going on here. Because the point isn't that we have a lot going on here and that there's a lot of things to do and we're busy. I don't want to have that known about. I don't want that to be a part of who we are. But the fact is that there's a lot of stuff to do. We have a lot of things to connect with. We have a lot of groups that we can connect to, a lot of classes that we can take, a lot of focus groups that you can be a part of. And the reason why I have those is there's a lot of you. And we desire that everybody here is connected and growing and being a part of something. And so every week, you may notice that every week I'll often highlight, you know, one particular thing. This next week we have a book study starting around unlimited motherhood. Cheryl's going to start on Tuesdays. It's on the back of your handout. You know, there's always a group to connect to. There's always a team to join. I'm going to have Bridget Hurlbut come up just for a moment. Bridget and her husband, Matt, lead our hospitality team. Most of you probably don't even know that we have a hospitality team because usually Bridget is downstairs. This sounds horrible. Downstairs in the kitchen. But she is serving. You can come over into the light. This is Bridget Hurlbut. Can we say hi, Bridget?
Hello.
Bridget and I have been talking the last couple of weeks about the hospitality team because there's a lot of things that you guys do that we just take for granted. What are some things we have? Bagel Sunday.
Bagel Sunday on the fifth Sunday.
On the fifth Sundays, there's four of those a year. We got one coming up at the end of the month. Our partner parties, they make food for Matt. is our chef extraordinaire for a New Testament church for the North Country. And every time, he's done this 3 years in a row, I'll say, Matt, what are we going to eat for the partner party this year? And he says, I'm thinking artesian peanut butter and jelly. Now, I've almost said yes every year. It actually sounds really good. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens at the partner party. What else do we do?
Kids camp.
We have kids camp. Well, we make a dinner for all the volunteers. And there's so many things that we do behind the scenes. And there's things that we want to do more of. I don't know why that word just in it wasn't there. We want to do more. We have what's coming up in August? August 18th.
Church picnic.
We have a church picnic coming up. And we're going to be putting together, we're going to be barbecuing, we'll provide the meat, but we want to have an opportunity for people to bring something to pass. We're going to go from here, after the service, we're going to go out to Barnhart, we're going to have a church picnic. I remember, you and I that were talking about, Rosie used to make deep fried bread dough. From my childhood, that was like the greatest thing in the summer. We might be able to, we'll see. That was amazing. We want to invite people.
Yes. If you want to be part of the team, if you want to see if you can help out in any way, even if it's not just cooking, but helping with set up or tear down or, you know, in any hospitality ways that you have something that is on your heart, please.
So they can come and see you and Matt. They can come and see Julie and I or any of our staff members. We're just looking for people to join the team, not so that you can be a part of every event that we do or every time that there needs to be a cook, something to cook for or somebody to cook for. We, you know, provide meals for people all the time. But have a large group of people to where let's call and see who's available, right?
Yes, yes. So it's not all of us doing every event, but it's all of us participating and there's enough of us to go around so we don't have to do everything all the time.
Sounds good. Who wants to join the hospital? Can I see Bridget after to join the hospitality team? Thank you, Bridget. So that was a shameless plug on my part. I said faith is not about just being a spectator. You actually have to get involved. But that's one opportunity to get involved. I want to go to James chapter 2 and verse 14. James chapter 2 and verse 14. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Sometimes I love the Bible just says it the way it needs to be said. I don't have to say it. This is James writing. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing and you say, goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. Faith, unless it produces good deeds, is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without deeds is useless? What a thought. Even the demons have faith, he says. Now, just let that roll around in your brain for a second. Even the demons have faith. And so what I started out by saying that belief isn't enough. Now, belief is where it starts, and belief is essential. And you can't earn anything from God. You can't earn God's love. God wants to shower his love on you. He wants you to be free. But there's an element to where intellectual belief isn't enough. It isn't enough for you. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Not that it isn't enough for God, it isn't enough for you, because it's not enough to just believe something. It actually has to have an impact on your life. It actually has to have bearing on your relationships, bearing on your marriage, bearing on the way that you relate to your kids, bearing on the way that we relate to each other, on how we live our lives. Faith is supposed to have an impact. You know, life is work. Dreams take work. Relationships take work. Marriage takes work. Work takes work. Deciding what to watch on Netflix takes work. That's one's a joke. Well, life is hard, isn't it? Like, is it just me, or there's a lot to life. There's a lot to relationships. Is anybody just flying high and everything is rosy? Maybe you could talk to me after and pray for me. But can we just acknowledge that life is hard? I was talking to somebody this week that says, you don't know what I've seen. And you're right. I don't know what you've seen, but you don't know what I've seen. You don't know the struggles. We all have things that we've been through and relationships that have broken apart and ways in which we've just mucked it up. There is just so much to life. It is hard. In James chapter 1, just some verses before, in James chapter 1, verse 19, he says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I'm just going to put that in an index card and put that on my forehead for myself. That won't work. I need to put it on the mirror. Maybe on my phone. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires, so get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself. And religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God and the Father means caring for the orphans and the widows in distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. I can talk freely about foster care today. Because a couple weeks ago, my wife and I had the honor and privilege and really the opportunity of a lifetime to adopt my son Daniel. For 3.5 years, I've had Daniel in my life and have been unable to post anything on social media or talk about him publicly because that's appropriate with foster care. I believe that's appropriate, although it's frustrating and hard. Not allowed to talk about it. But now I can because Daniel is my son. And, you know, my wife and I, for years, I would say for as long as we've, even before marriage, we, you know, you voice, I'd be open to adopting, I'd be open to doing foster care. And it was always something that was a possibility, you know, at some point if that ever happens. It was always on the horizon. It was always something that we thought about, but honestly, we never did anything about. We never made any steps towards it. We had friends that had done foster care and friends that had adopted, and we thought that was amazing, but it just never came around. And then a number of years ago, my brother had been doing foster care and had some children in his home, and there was an opportunity for us to help out. And so we started taking the classes, and we helped out, and we brought a child into our home for short stints at a time and became certified as foster parents. And a couple months later, we got a phone call with an opportunity. And we decided to say yes to that. And we brought in Daniel and his sister into our home at that time. And Daniel came into our home about, 3.5 years ago. And I just want to be really vulnerable and say, it was really hard. I would never change it in a moment. Daniel is my son. He's not here. He's up in Bridge right now. He is my son, and I'm still learning what that means. He's learning what that means, and it's an incredible blessing and opportunity. But the journey was harder than anybody could ever say. I had friends telling me that have done it before, it's hard. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And they told me I would say that. But there's just so many aspects to it, because when you encounter brokenness, I mean, I got enough brokenness on my own. But when you open yourself up to other brokenness and you interact with situations of trauma and situations that aren't the way that God designed them to be, it's messy. It's hard. And I found myself reacting all the time. I'm still kind of there. But I found myself reacting all the time and found myself in moments interacting with Daniel to where if I could step back for a moment, I was embarrassed with myself and the feelings that I was having and just the reactions. And I didn't do anything, just so we're clear. It's just like the anger or just the frustrations, or just even the part of foster care is you're not in control of anything, and accusations will come by birth parents and different things would happen, and it just I would say this all the time, I feel like just a glorified babysitter. And there's a truth to that, and there's an appropriateness to that. But the journey of stepping in and helping another life is hard. And I know that we all do different things, and this isn't a huge plug for foster care, although read the Bible. This isn't a huge plug for that. It's just an opportunity and a moment that is something that's very personal and in this moment right now for me, is to realize that life is hard. Living out, slow to anger, slow to speak, quick to listen. I mean, just get married. Have kids. Open your home up for foster care. Encounter another human being. In any dynamic that we find ourselves in, slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to anger. You know, we read these things and we're like, yeah, we know that. Like, oh, that's good. That's good, Jesus. That's good, James. Preach that. That's really good. But then living it out and walking it out on a daily basis every day is hard. And yet, glorious and amazing. A long time ago, someone encouraged me to always be aware of God's presence. And I would say this is probably 30 years ago. You know, let's read this passage. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, always be joyful. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. English Standard Version or King James says, pray without ceasing. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. I was encouraged to always be aware of God's presence. And as I read this passage where Paul says, pray without ceasing, I thought, well, I don't think he means actually like pray, you know, we know what prayer is, to just only do that, pray without ceasing. Well, what does he mean? And this is just me. I tell my kids that praying is just talking to God. And so for me, when I think of pray without ceasing, never stop praying, it means that I'm always aware of him. I'm always talking to him. I'm always listening to him. I'm always aware of his presence. And that's a practice, because I fail at it a lot. But I think the encouragement here to always be joyful, to never stop praying, to be thankful in all circumstances, it's something that takes effort. It takes work to do. But I have found that the more that I can pray without ceasing, the more that I can be aware of God's presence, the more that I can choose joy and gratefulness in every moment, the more, this is bad English, the more better decisions I make. The better I am as a husband, as a father, as a brother, as a son, as a coworker, as a pastor, as a member of the community, if I can be aware of God, you get a better Justin. My kids get a better father. My son Daniel gets a better father. You get a better friend and a better pastor. When I'm not aware of God's presence, that's when I'm embarrassed at myself at times. When I'm in a discussion with my wife and I realize, oh, what am I doing? What am I thinking? What am I saying? Who is this person? And I get defensive and I start trying to justify and I start trying to get her to see the way I see things and to understand the logic and what I'm trying to say. That's just not helpful. And I know that. I've spoken about it. I've preached about it. I've stood up here and I've said this multiple times. And yet this week, again, I find myself in those moments where, just shut up, Justin. Be slow to speak, quick to listen. And I found that the more that I'm aware of God, the easier that is. How about you? The more that I'm aware of God, the easier that is. I've learned how to overcome thought patterns in my life just by hearing his voice. I've learned how to overcome temptations. I've learned how to overcome just ways of thinking by practicing the presence of God, by always being mindful of him. You know, opening up our home and our hearts was challenging. It is challenging. Everything we do, everything you do is challenging. Is anything actually easy? Sitting back and watching 49er football, even that's not easy. That Super Bowl was terrible. Tom and Angie came over. When it's the 49ers on, I don't want anybody else around because it's just too much anxiety. So Tom's a 49er fan as well, so we're watching the 49ers. I told Angie this week, you know, we got to have you guys over again because I was just in a bad mood that whole time. You didn't get to see a good me. Because the 49ers didn't win. Everything we do is challenging. Romans chapter 12. Actually, just Romans. Read Romans 7. Read Romans 8. Read Romans 9. Romans chapter 12. Actually, read the whole. I wanted to read the whole chapter, but I figured there wouldn't be time for that. Let's do verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. And he says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Does anybody else relate to where you just need, sometimes you need God to change the way you think? That's what we see really throughout the New Testament, throughout the scriptures entirely, is that God wants to transform us. Jesus came to show us how to live. Jesus came to teach us and to say, do this, live this way, notice this. Following Jesus is about learning how to live in a way that's helpful. Because I live in plenty of ways that aren't helpful at times, and so do you. I don't know how one does life without God, without the Holy Spirit, without Jesus. I'm 46, right? Is that how old I am? What year is this? 2014? I'll be 46 next week. I'm 45. And I grew up in the 80s. Anybody ever have a Nintendo? Any of 40-year-olds in here, 50-year-olds in here that had a Nintendo? Well, my son, I'm just so thankful my son likes retro video games. He has the new stuff too. He has whatever the new Xbox is. Nintendo Switch, he's got that too. But we have some retro video games. And I put it on Facebook a couple months ago. I said, if anybody has any old tube TVs, I want them. And some of you graciously texted me and said, please take this out of my attic. come and get it. I marched up into some of your attic and got an old tube TV, and we got these TVs, and I got an old Nintendo, and my son's got Sega Genesis and Nintendo and some old video games. There's a game that I used to love to play called Contra. Does anybody remember Contra? I see a couple of you smiling at me. Well, the only way you could really play Contra is to know the cheat code. So when you turn Contra on, the title screen comes up, and I had to look it up. My son knows it by heart. Up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start, and then you get 30 extra lives. So in order to play Contra, you got to know the cheat code. Anybody beat Contra without the cheat code? If you did, we'll talk. You talk later. But I don't know how you could beat that game. I don't know how you could play that game without 30 extra lives, without that cheat code. You know, I have this on your notes. You're probably wondering why it says what it says. The cheat code for life, my opinion, at least what Jesus tells me, is the Holy Spirit. And you really need that cheat code. Those 30 extra lives you get playing Contra. John chapter 14, verse 15. John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now, and later he will be in you. The Holy Spirit. Here the New Living Translation says an advocate. That word can be literally translated as one who is called to one side. It's translated elsewhere as a helper or a comforter. And there's other passages there in the book of John. I have them listed on your notes. You can go where Jesus refers to him again and again as an advocate, a helper, a comforter, one who will come alongside, one who will remind you of the things that Jesus has said, one who will lead you into truth, one who will convict the world of sin. When I read that again this week, I thought, there's the cheat code. And I've had the Holy Spirit in my life for as long as I can remember. And realizing that having him in my life has made life a lot easier. It's given me a few more lives in my conversations, a few more lives in my interaction. Because he is our advocate. He is our helper. He is our comforter. And we've been talking about the Holy Spirit the last couple weeks, and we'll never stop talking about the Holy Spirit. But to know God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Jesus says, it's better for you that I go so that the Holy Spirit will come. You know, I often think it'd be really cool to walk with Jesus. It would be just amazing to be John or Mark or Peter to walk with the Holy Spirit. But Jesus says, it's better for me that I go, so the Holy Spirit will come. And I believe him. The Holy Spirit came into his disciples, as we read the last couple of weeks in the book of Acts. And Jesus says he'll come and he will never leave. And as we've been reading in this passage in Thessalonians where Paul says to never stop praying, to pray without ceasing, to be aware of God's presence, to be aware of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit has come to live in you, to reside with you, to be there, to never leave you, Jesus says. To be your personal cheat code for life. Because life is hard. Jesus says, you will have trouble in this world. He wasn't joking. And we're all like, I know. So many things come our way. Death, disease, addiction, pain, trauma, people, us, me. We come our way, and the Holy Spirit wants to come and remind us of the things that Jesus says, to come and empower us in a moment, to come and bring freedom, to come and say, shh, stop talking, to come and say, man, maybe you need to hear me in this moment. But here's the thing. It isn't automatic. Life with him isn't automatic. He comes. He's with you. He's available. But hearing him and listening to him and doing what he says isn't automatic. I have on your notes, and I stole this from a book by Craig Groeschel, these four words: renew, remain, acknowledge, and ask. Renew, from Romans chapter 12, to renew our minds. How many of you would benefit from changing the way that you think? How many of you would benefit from being like, I just need a new way of looking at the situation. I need a new perspective. I need God's perspective. We need to constantly renew our minds to say, God, how do you see this? God, what do you want me to do? What do I need to do in the situation? Jesus tells us we need to remain in him. You just gotta stick with him. I said earlier, I've believed for a very long time. I just gotta stay there. Maybe just go back to that moment. That was a good moment with Eddie. Standing there with him, confessing my faith. But just to stay with Jesus, to stay, remain in him, aware of him. The next one is acknowledge. Go read Romans chapter 7 and just be honest with yourself. I need God. I mess things up. I know what I'm supposed to do and I don't do it. I don't do the things I want to do. I do the things I don't want to do. Go read Romans chapter 7. Just acknowledge. I can't do it on my own. And lastly, ask. James chapter 1 verse 5, he says, ask for God's wisdom. The Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit in me. As a father, as I've said, as a husband, as a brother, as a member of the community, as your friend, I'm better with the Holy Spirit, and you are too. Why don't we stand? You know, whenever we gather, there's likely that there are people in the room that haven't started their conversation with Jesus yet. And if you're in this room and this is a new experience for you, if following Jesus is a new thought for you, you know, it begins in a moment. I've said belief is not enough, but belief is absolutely where it begins. And just acknowledging what you've done and who Jesus is and how he wants to bring life, how he wants to forgive, how he wants to say everything that has happened is past. Jesus wants to forgive everything and say, let's go on this journey together. And praying to acknowledge what Jesus has done and invite him into our life is just the beginning of a lifelong conversation, of a lifelong following. I have some friends that are going to come up and be on the sides here to pray with you. If you would like to start a journey with Jesus today, there are some people that want to pray with you. If you want to know forgiveness, if you want to know what we've been singing about, if you want to experience that, you can start it today and continue it for the rest of your life. Another thing I want to talk about is if you want more of the Holy Spirit in your life, he's here for you. He's already with you. If you've chosen to follow Jesus, Jesus says the Holy Spirit is with you. But there's moments we read about in Scripture, there's moments where he comes to give a little bit more. if you want to be more aware of the Holy Spirit, you can ask him right now to come. If you want more of the Holy Spirit in your life, why don't I invite you to take a step and come up here. If you want more of what he has to say, we want to pray for each other in this moment. I didn't think this through all the way, but I want to pray with you. Because life, there is so much pain, there is so much trauma, there is so much hurt, there are so many things that we have done to each other and have been done to us by each other. There is so much brokenness. I don't know how we do it without him. Jesus, we thank you, God. First of all, we thank you that you, God, you laid down your life for us. God, that you showed us how to live. Jesus, we thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit to be here with us, to remind us, to lead us, to convict us, to help us. God, I pray that even in my vulnerability this morning, that we would all just acknowledge our need for you in every relationship, in every moment. God, in our families and in our marriages and in our relationships and in our work and in all the things that we do. God, we ask for you to speak into them and for us to hear your voice. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.